Amen, amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter number 90. Psalms chapter number 90. Once a year we do honoring our high school graduates. And many times in that evening time, when we usually do it during the evening service, but since we're having afternoon service, and since I'm not going to be preaching this afternoon, we sometimes, whatever the Lord leads, give a message that is not just aimed for young people, because it's applicable for everyone, but it gives an idea of what something that's important that would be something important for a graduate too. You say, what in the world could you talk to an 18-year-old boy about and talk to the same thing that's a person that's 85? The Bible. The Bible is true for all ages. But the importance that we're going to look at today is found in Psalms chapter number 90. And in Psalms chapter number 90, there is a verse there in verse number 12. We're going to read the whole chapter here in a second. But if there was a text verse for today, it would be Psalms chapter number 90, verse number 12. The Bible says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." So what the scripture is saying here, it's saying that we should be understanding, hey, we need to be careful about our days, to number them. We're going to talk about what that means and what that means to consider that. And we're going to look a little bit about just how life is short. I don't know about you, life is something that goes by, it seems like, super fast. You turn around and you say it's gone. I think most of us would say to the graduate today, Andrew, is, hey, look, life's going to go by fast. It might not seem like it, but you turn around and they're there and they're graduating. And obviously most of you know, if not all of you know, that Andrew is my son. He's graduating from high school. But the same thing for anyone who's graduating. You tell them, hey, be a young person, be a kid, don't grow up too fast. It's going to go by, it's going to blow by, and you just turn around. And we remember when Andrew came to the church, he was 1 and a half, and now he's graduating from high school. I think that's crazy. And not only them, you see other ones that have been inside the church, and you look at them, and they're in college. And I remember Christian Bateman and seeing him ever since we've been here, and him now, he's going to be a senior at Pensacola. And I look at some of you, and some of you used to be young and athletic and could do all types of things, and now you're a little bit older and still athletic and still do all types of things. It just goes by super fast. And that's, it even says in the scripture, so teach us to number our days. It's saying, hey, look, there is a value in days, and there's some things that we need to consider. But before we jump too far, let's go ahead and read the whole entire chapter, give a little bit of commentary as a reading, and I want you to understand where the chapter's coming from. If you look at it, it says, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Most Bible scholars, all the Bible scholars I read, they believe, you know, it's a prayer of Moses. It may be the oldest psalm. So that's kind of neat. And it was probably written, as you're reading through, it talks about the frailty of life, written during the time that they're in the wilderness. They have gone to the promised land. They did not go into the promised land like they were supposed to. They got fearful, and for those 40 years, they were wandering in the wilderness. And you remember in those 40 years, it was a death march. Anyone that was 20 and older, or over 20, was going to die in that wilderness, with the exception of Caleb and Joshua. So they're there, and as they're walking, they're taking these steps, and they're stopping. Stopping for burial after burial after burial. And so he's saying, hey, number your days. Can you imagine you were one of those that was above 20 and you're there and you know that, hey, I got 40 years to live. I don't got any more time. And as it's getting closer to 40, they're numbering their days. I'm not going to make it much longer. And that's where the picture of life is. Hey, it's uncertain. We don't know how long we're going to be here. And we need to be careful with our days. We need to make sure we use them wisely. We need to make sure that we're living for God. And so that's what the thought of the message is today. Teach us to number our days. But before we get too far into the message, let's read the chapter so you can understand some important truths that are found in it. And then we'll pray and ask God to help us. Dear, here in Psalm chapter number 90, verse number 1, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And there's a principle that's established there. He's God. He is God. He's there before, he's there afterwards. He's no end, no beginning. And then he says in verse number 3, thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men. And it's, you know, we all came from dust. We're going to return to dust. Verse number 4, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but a yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. And it's talking about how, you know, time. You know, we think about this world. If someone lives to 100 years old, it's a long time. And we, in all reality, it's nothing in comparison to eternity. Even if you consider that if you got to live as old as Methuselah and you're up there and you, even if you made it to 1,000 years, compared to eternity, it's just like it's yesterday. It's an amazing thought. But we have such a short period of time in this world that we can live for God and make a difference. So let's keep on going. It says, verse number 5, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee. And once again, it's talking about the frailty of life here. It's also talking about the punishment that they were facing. And then it says, thou hast set our iniquities before thee. It's the idea that there is nothing that is a secret to God. It even says, our secret sins is in the light of thy countenance. And it's amazing to think about how God knows everything that we ever thought, everything we ever done, everything we're going to think or do. As if we would live consciously in the presence of God, it would change us. Verse number 9, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. And it gives the idea of a story that's being told. Verse number 10, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. So here giving a description there of how long a life is on average. Now, I looked it up a little bit, and the average lifespan, according to Google, you know, if it's on the internet, it's always true. The internet never lies. 79.5 years is the average for right now. And you think about throughout all the generations, different ages, different people, all the way from the beginning. So this, the Bible's saying it's an average of 70 years. Most of us live a little bit longer than that. It says the days of our years are 70 years and 10. So they're saying there's an average number of years of 70 years old. And if by reason of strength, they be 80 years. Yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. So what the scripture is saying here, if you get 70, hey, if something, if you have strength there, you make it to 80. After that, you know, you're soon cut off, and you fly away. Verse number 11, who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days. Since life is short, teach us to number our days. And not just appreciate our days. We should number our days for a purpose and a reason. Many of us hear that verse and say, so teach us the number of days. We need to be careful because we don't have that many days. But in all reality, he says, so teach us the number of days. And there's a purpose behind it, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Life is short. We need to make sure that we're applying our hearts unto wisdom. Then it continues on, return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. It's interesting when you're hearing Moses, and this is a prayer of Moses, as they're in the wilderness under a death march. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy. He's not saying because of anything they did, God, but because of your mercy, help us to be satisfied. Even during a very troubling, hard time, help us to be satisfied with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. And continues on, make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. There's the prayer is that thy work is going to appear unto thy servants, that God would work in their lives, and thy glory unto their children, that the glory of God would be relevant to their children. Verse number 17, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it, that the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. The beauty of God. I think that's referring to the holiness of God, but that people would see Christ in us. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for these people. Lord, I love them. I'm thankful for the opportunity to help minister here at Faith Baptist Church. What a great privilege. Lord, I pray that we would be faithful as a church, as a group of believers. Lord, that we would live for you, that we would be a lighthouse. Lord, that we would help the world understand that their only hope is Jesus. And God, that we would see the brevity of life. And even though it might seem like it drags on at times, Lord, we only have a short period of time in this world. Lord, to to bring glory to your honor, bring glory and honor to your name. Lord, I pray you help us this morning. If there's someone here today that doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, help them to understand that they're not promised tomorrow. And Lord, that they need to turn to you. God, help us today. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So a couple things I want you to think about. The first thing is, life goes by quickly. I know I alluded to that earlier. I think most of us that are a little bit older would all say, yes, it does go by fast. It might seem like it drags on when you're a child. It might even seem like certain portions of life drag on, but you turn around and you're 20, and then you're 30, then you're 40, then you're 50, and it flies by. And the scriptures even say this, man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passeth away. And James, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. David, as he was running from Saul, said, there is but a step between me and death. And Luke, it says, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? What the scripture is saying here is it goes by quickly, and you don't know, you're not promised tomorrow. So the first point I want you to think about is things to consider when numbering our days. Things to consider when numbering our days. Here, if we're going to number our days, if we're going to consider what we have in this life and how long we have, there's a few things we need to consider. If you're going to take an account, okay, I have 70 years in this world or 80 years in this world, I need to make sure I use it to the best of the ability that God has given me for God. There's some things you got to think about. The first thing you need to consider is death is certain. It's going to happen. I know the old preacher used to say, you know, the only two things certain in life is death and taxes. And the reality is, unless the Lord returns, all of us are going to die someday. And that's not a, you know, an uplifting message, but that is truth. You know, hey, we are all going to die. We need to be prepared for that. The Bible says in Hebrews 9, verse number 27, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The next thing I want you to think about, not only is death certain, but we are not promised tomorrow. No one can say, I'm going to be here tomorrow, definitely. It's not the case. No one's promised tomorrow. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. There's a lot of uncertainty there. The reality is, yes, we're here today, but we may be gone by tomorrow. The Lord may return. We might be killed in a car accident, a heart attack. No matter, young or old, no one is promised tomorrow. So if life is uncertain, if we're going to number our days, we've got to remember this. Okay. I know I'm going to die someday, so there has to be an end to this formula. Yes, I need to number my days. I only have X number of days to live in this world. The second thing I need to remember, if I'm going to number my days, I'm going to live for the Lord, I'm not going to waste it, I'm not going to procrastinate, I'm not going to be lazy. If I'm going to number my days, I need to remember there's going to be an end someday, and I don't know where that end's going to be. Now, if we knew that we were going to live till 60 or 70 or 80, if we were confident of that and we knew God had promised us that, we might say, I can waste these 10 years or I can waste these 20 years. I still have another 30 or 40 over here to live for. But that's not the way that God puts it. That's not nowhere in the Bible does it say that. It actually tells us to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. It's important to remember how to number our days when we're young so we can be used to the Lord the most that we can. So if we're going to number our days, we need to first realize there's going to be an end, that death is certain. The second thing we need to understand and remember is we don't know how long we're going to be here. So how can I number my days? It means that each day I'm going to live to the fullest for God. And I think that we don't want to waste the days that God's given us. We don't want to waste the opportunities. The third thing I want you to think about is how many years are we going to have in this world? You say, well, Pastor, you just said you can't know that. I know that, but most of us can make a safe assumption that we're planning on being here for a little while. When I say live for, you know, do your best today for the Lord, doesn't mean that you go and buy a whole bunch of stuff because you don't think you're going to you're going to die tomorrow. It's not that. But you got to consider, okay, the Bible says 70 years. And I asked some gentlemen if they would come up front so that way they can use an illustration. So if they'll come up front, and there's something that I, when I was at a Sword of Lord conference, we're going to do it down here, give you guys some space so you can social distance. I know how important that is. You're going to go on this side over here. Brother Brandenburg, you're going to be in the middle. Mr. Jim, you're on the old people side over here. Mr. Humbert, you're on the really old people side over here. You guys can stand a little bit closer, please, okay? So each of these have, and when I went to the Sword of Lord conference a few years ago, you guys can scoot in a little bit so they can see. They showed this illustration, and it always kind of stuck with me. Now, I was going to ask some ladies to do it, but nobody would tell me their age, so that was a joke. You guys don't. So you have in here, and we put 18 years there, and we had reasoned together all the way up to 75. Andrew is 18 years old. He's our graduate. There's not a lot of other guys that's under 18. They're all in the back in the kids' classes, but Andrew's a 0 to 18. Christian Bateman there is 19 to what, 37? Brother Brandenburg is 38 to 56. Brother Jim is 57 to 75. And Mr. Humbert is 76 to question mark. So the reason for that is because of the fact we do not know what the end's going to be like. But if you look at this and you consider what's there, they all have, it looks like a gas gauge there. If from 0 to 18, you pretty much got a full tank. And then after that, from 19 to 37, you've already used a quarter of your life, if you go according to this principle. If you get over to where Brother Brandenburg's at, over half his life's gone. Now, we might chuckle about that because we know where it's going, but the reality is, it's not there anymore. What have I done for the Lord? Then you come over to Brother Jim, and Brother Jim, we had to lie about Brother Jim because he's not in that age group. I'm just joking. No, he's there. You know, three quarters of his life is already lived. And he got Mr. Humbert. Mr. Humbert's on fumes. So the preacher that said it that day said the same thing and everybody laughed. So I figured it would work. I thought about the illustration. You think about it, He's got a long life ahead of him. There's much there to do. But you look at somebody, and now Christian and Bateman and Andrew are only a couple years apart, but you look at the different categories there. Christian Bateman's already lived a quarter of his life. You say he's young. He's got so many years ahead of him. He's got another 40, 50, 60 years in this world. That is case. But remember, if we're going to really truly number our days, we got to think in these terms, okay? If it's going to be 80 someday, I've already used 20 years of my life. What have I done for God? What have I done that counted for the Lord? If we're going to number our days and we're going to say, hey, I need to consider, number one, that life is going to end someday. Number two, I don't know when it's going to end, but I need to be at least thinking about this. And you come to Brother Brandenburg, and you know, Brother Brandenburg's new here. He's younger than me, and he's already lived half his life. And to me, that is very sobering. Because I'm already past half. I'm already, now they used to say you're already downhill, but in all reality is you're going uphill because you get older, it gets harder to walk up the hill. It's not like you're running down the hill anymore. In all reality, you're going up, and it's I was mentioning on Wednesday night the preaching time. He says the things that we would want to do and the things that we desire to do when you get to be Mr. Humbert's age, you wish you could be doing those things that you should have done when you were 30 and 40 and 50, but you can't do them as such anymore. Now, Mr. Humbert, he might defy the odds. He can still do a lot. But you think about Brother Brandenburg here, a young person, six kids, seventh one on the way. Is that right? So there's so many you miss it sometimes. you think about it, that his life is half over. And you come to Brother Jim, and Brother Jim, once again, he's probably healthier than I am, probably definitely more energetic. You've seen the way he leads the singing. Three quarters of his life is gone. And it's a powerful thought there. If I'm going to, and the Bible says, teach us. He's saying to the Lord, teach us to number our days. So what category are you in? And I know I don't want you to say out loud, but is do you have most of your life ahead of before you? And I know we're saying Andrew has most of his life ahead of him, but there is 18 years of the 75 that are gone. That's he's already really at that quarter, almost that quarter, three quarters of the tank. And then you come here and you're thinking, okay, I got a lot of life left in me, and I still like to think I have a lot of life left in me, but I'm out of this category. I'm no longer half, you know, and it's not a midlife crisis anymore. It's already past midlife crisis, because if that 37-year-old age group is, you know, there's not a lot of us. And then you come to the next principle there, and it's half gone. What am I going to do? Have I served the Lord? What have I done those years? And you come to Brother Jim there, three quarters gone. So what does that mean? Does that mean I should just coast? And I think the illustration says, no, you don't got much time left. And then you come to Mr. Humbert, and Mr. Humbert's a very thankful, happy person, and he's lived on fumes like some of you that are out there are living on fumes. And you're thinking, okay, now I don't have to do anything. No, it's greater understanding here. I need to number my days. That means I have less days left than probably anybody else over here. I need to do what God wants me to do today. Thank you, gentlemen. You can keep your papers if you want. I appreciate it. Now, I hope you take that home with you and you think about it and you consider that. So number your days. So if you're going to number your days, you need to consider first, you know, we're all going to die someday. And hopefully it's going to be many years. Hopefully even Mr. Humbert that's running on fumes has, you know, 10, 20, 30 years left. But we got to remember that we're not promised tomorrow. Any one of those guys could go first, because there's no, boast not thyself tomorrow. But what have you done with your life? And I know what you're thinking, Pastor. You know, I've had kids. I've done this. What have you done for the Lord? You know, it's only what we do for eternity that really counts. And then you consider how many years there are in this world. And then the next thought is, so things to consider. First, death is certain. And once again, we preach a whole sermon on any of these points. But death is certain. We are not promised tomorrow. How many years may we have in this world? And it says in verse number 10 here, the days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet there is strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. The point is, we don't know how much longer we have in this world. And it's very sobering to think that, you know, over half my life's gone. But to those that are even a little bit older, over three quarters of my life is gone. And then the other one's like, I'm living on borrowed time. You know, I need to consider that when I make my choices. I need to consider that when I get up. I need to consider that each day I live, as I'm planning for tomorrow, as I'm planning for next year. I need to understand that this life is going to end someday, and that it could end tomorrow, and it's not that much more time left. And the last thing to consider is Jesus could come back at any time. You know, that's when he's saying, boast not thyself tomorrow. The truth of the reality is Christ could return. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night, meaning that we're not going to know. And we're even told to watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. That the Bible says not only you understand it, it's going to come as a thief in the night that you're not going to know, but you're supposed to be watching, you're supposed to be looking. What are you supposed to be doing? You're supposed to be numbering your days. You're supposed to be considering here, life is definitely going to end someday. I don't know when that's going to happen. And I only have maybe this many years to live. And because of all those things, Christ could even come back today. I tell you, that would change. If we lived and we considered and we numbered our days, you know what that would be? We would be living with an urgency to live for God, an urgency to do what's right, an urgency to see people come to Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we be ever with the Lord. So what the scriptures is saying here is, hey, Christ could come back any moment in time. And he says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The second thing I want you to think about, not only things to consider when numbering your days, the second thing is our days compared to eternity. Our days compared to eternity. You go back and you look at this in verse number 4, for 1,000 years in thy sight, or as yesterday. Meaning that if we would compare not only the illustration here that we saw, but to compare that if we lived a certain spot in life, and say if we lived 7 years, and this little inch represented 70 years, that you could go and you could take that little inch and you could go around this room and continue to go around this room, and eternity would last longer and keep on going. It's never going to stop. And what's going to happen in this world and what we do in this world shows our love for the Lord, shows our dedication, shows that we can bring glory and honor. It's here in this world when we have a choice whether we're going to serve Him or not. It's where we are going to show our commitment toward Him. So if we're comparing our days to eternity, the Bible tells us so, teach us to number our days, but then it says that we may apply our hearts into wisdom. So not only are we supposed to number our days, okay, Pastor, I got it. I know that we're going to die someday. We know it could be tomorrow. We realize that life probably 70 or 80 years and that Christ could return. I understand the urgency. I understand what I'm supposed to do. Do you? Because some people look at this and some people say, okay, because of all this, I need to get as much as I can in this world. Some people apply this thought, then I need to have as much fun as I can in this world. Or I need to do as much things that are going to make me happy. But that's not what the scripture says. It says, so teach me to number my days. And then it continues on that we may apply our hearts into wisdom. There's a purpose. When we number our days, it's so we can learn from it and we can grow. And so where does wisdom come from? Wisdom comes from God. We learned about that in the book of Job a number of weeks ago. So what would be wisdom be? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. If we would learn to fear the Lord, then we are going to be able to number our days and live the way we can. Some people say, hey, look, life is short. Because life is short, we need to do as much as we can and have as much fun. That's not what he's saying here. Because life is short, we need to learn to number our days. We need to learn to apply our hearts to wisdom. That means we need to seek after the Lord. That means we need to fear the Lord. And the idea that we reverence him and we respect him. And then it comes to our thought, this question is, what have I done this past week that will last for eternity? This past week's been busy for some of you. And I think sometimes we get up super early and sometimes we stay up super late. And I know inside this room there's men and women that work and they work super hard. But the question is, what have we done this past week that will last for eternity? The scriptures say, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust thus corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. So if we're going to number our days and we're going to apply our hearts into wisdom, we have to learn this truth that the things in this world are only going to last the number of our days. But if we lay up treasures in heaven, once again, it's not the inch. It's something that's going to last forever. And here, things moth and sometimes they rust. And I remember going past the junkyards. And I remember the preacher used the illustration one time. He says, if you go to those junkyards and you see those hundreds of cars that are there and they're old, that at one point in time in that car's life was someone's pride and joy. At one point in time in that someone's life, it was someone's brand new car and they were so excited to have it and they probably treated it so well and thinking, man, this is the greatest thing. But where's it at today? It's in a junkyard. It's gone. It's rusted. And that's so many times is a beautiful picture of how we look in our lives and we think, man, this is great, this is wonderful, but it's temporal and it doesn't last. And in the end, it's going to burn up anyway. So what the scriptures is saying here is, look, don't focus on the things of this world. Don't focus on laying treasures up in this world, but instead number your days and focus on applying your heart to wisdom. And as you apply your heart to wisdom, you're going to look forward to what you're going to do in eternity, or what you're going to, the rewards in eternity. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Ephesians 5:16 said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Colossians 4:5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Over and over in the scriptures, it says, pay attention. There's something that you need to do. You need to redeem your time. You need to be faithful with your time. You need to do the best you can with your time. That's walking in wisdom means that we need to keep our eyes focused on things that really matter, not on the things of this world. The third thing I want you to think about is things people waste their lives with. Things that people waste their lives with. First thing, consider what numbering your days means. Second thing is our days compared to eternity. The third thing is things that people waste their lives with. I began thinking about some of those different things that people spend their life looking forward to do. Sometimes people spend their lives looking forward to making the most money. Once again, there's nothing wrong with money. You need money sometimes to be able to survive. But the Bible says the love of all money is the love of money is the root of all evil. Sometimes people think, I'm going to live for pleasure. And Ecclesiastes, the man Solomon, the wisest man to ever live besides Jesus, talked about how he accomplished more than anybody else. He fulfilled every pleasure he ever had at a point in time in his life. And he said it was all vanity. It was all worthless. Even at the end, towards the end of that chapter, he said he hated his life. He had everything that the world had to offer. And he says, you know what? It's all worthless. It's all vain. It's not worth, you know what he was doing? He wasn't numbering his days. And then he looked back on his life and he said, you know what? That didn't bring true joy. People live for proving a point. I've seen so many people waste their lives with bitterness. I've seen so many people in relationships because of the fact that they were angry with someone or because of their pride, because of their jealousy, because of a riff, that they will end a relationship or harm a relationship, and they live their lives and they waste time that they had to grow closer, time to win people to Christ, because they chose to hold on to their sin more than they chose to number their days. I don't know how many times I've sat and listened to somebody talk about, I wish I would, when someone's getting ready to die or someone just passed away, I wish I had one more time to talk to them. I wish I would have spent more time with them. I wish this, I wish that, and I understand all that. And we're always, if you're someone you're close to, you're going to wish that you could talk, but there are sometimes people who never would spend time with that mom or with that dad that would say, I wish I had it now. Why is that? It's because they didn't number their days. They didn't say, you know what, mom and dad are going to be over here quicker than I am. I need to spend as much time with them if that's what the desire is. Number your days. Apply your heart to wisdom. Understand that life is going to end someday and that it could end tomorrow. And we only have a set number of years in this world. And I need to make sure I'm taking and using this time as to the honor and glory of God. I think about such things as sports. Once again, there's nothing wrong with athletics. But I think people sometimes put such an overemphasis on it that they're willing to even ignore godly things to be able to just take part of sports. Be willing to throw away church services and church things and a witness and a testimony just so they could be good at playing with a ball. Hobbies. And another thing, sometimes people live for their hobbies. Once again, there's nothing wrong with a hobby, but if we only have an average of 79 years here in this world, that's 28,835 days on this earth, 692,040 hours in a lifetime. We don't have much to waste. That's why the scripture says to number your days. What did you do with your last week? What did you do that would matter for eternity? So we look at Andrew graduating from high school and we're thinking, he's got a whole life ahead of him. And I'm expecting that he does. I'm thinking that someday he'd get married if a girl will take him. And someday he should have kids. And so that way I can have grandkids, right? Yeah, but that's just thinking. But if you're going to number your days, you got to make plans and say, you know what? I'm not going to be here forever. What am I going to do with my life that's going to count? I need to number my days, but I also need to take what I'm going to do while I number them. I'm going to need to apply my heart to wisdom. Doesn't mean I'm going to apply my flesh to pleasure. I'm going to apply my heart to wisdom. And then from there, we learn and understand that eternity lasts a lot longer than this world does. We should be living for that. Don't waste your life. There is something that's called procrastination. It's putting things off. I know we've heard stories before of people who procrastinated and they've done things that were wrong and they just pushed it out. I'm going to tell you one story. I know I've told it a few times. I know there's people here that have never been here before, and I think you'll remember the story. We probably all have a Larry in our life. I'm not talking about Larry Almorod, but there was a Larry that I worked with at Rite Aid. I was the overnight manager at Rite Aid when I was in Bible college. Larry was a good guy. Larry dealt with alcoholism. Larry liked to have a good time. He liked to dance, liked to do other things. I remember the first time we talked about it, and he says, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "What type are you?" I said, "What do you mean?" I said, "There's only one type." He says, No. "What church you go to?" I said, "Baptist." And he said to me, "Oh, I know about you guys. You don't like to drink or dance." I said to him, "Those are two things I do not take part of." He says, "Those are two of my favorite things." And he had a big smile on his face. We were just talking. He was working for me. He was probably in his mid to late 50s, but he looked like he was in his mid to late 60s, early 70s, because he lived kind of a hard life. And I remember we would talk in stock shelves and things like that, and we struck up a little bit of a friendship. And I remember he began asking questions about the Bible. And I remember one night he asked me a question about becoming a Christian. We were in the middle of work. I kind of procrastinated, and I did not talk to him about that at that moment in time. And I wish I did. Fast forward after another 6 months to a year, I finished college, or I finished what I was going to do at that school, and I get the job here, and I go. And the Lord, while studying and everything else, the Lord convicted my heart about Larry that I never ever... I had talked to him many times before in the past about the gospel. I had talked to him many times before in the past about becoming a Christian, but I had pushed it off that day. And I thought, the Lord convicted my heart. He says, next time I go back to Elkton, I'm going to tell Larry about the gospel. He was still working at Rite Aid. About 2 weeks before our scheduled trip to go back to Elkton, I worked in Newcastle, Delaware, which is about 20 minutes away. I got a letter from a lady in a little church. It's a little ceramic church. It sits in my home office now. And she wrote a nice letter to me, and she was writing, and she said, "Larry didn't care about Christians, but he liked you. And he looked up to you. But Larry died unexpectedly the other night." He said he bought you this little church. It's in the Thanksgiving decorations. And the reason why it was in the Thanksgiving decorations, I know, because they go on clearance. And when they go on clearance, they're super cheap at Rite Aid, especially if you got an employee discount. Larry was cheap, too. Frugal, I guess, a better word. And he says he wanted to send this to you to let you know he was thinking about you. But he died unexpectedly. He said he wouldn't listen to anybody else about the Bible, but he loved talking to you about it. And, you know, someday I'm going to be accountable for that. Now, I can't tell you Larry would have got saved that night, but I can tell you that I should have made time that night. Now, I agree, work is work, and someone's paying you to do something. I understand that. But I was the one that procrastinated. I didn't have time at that point in time. I don't know if you have a story like that or not. But if I was numbering my days, I was more focused on eternity than the things of this world, I would have talked to Larry. Now, do I know whether or not Larry... I'm praying that somebody got to Larry before he died. But from what his mother was saying, it's not the case. I had a chance to make an influence and make a difference in his life. And you might look at that story and say, "Oh, Pastor, it's his own fault. He was somebody who struggled with drink or somebody who struggled with sins and things like that." I know what you're saying, but imagine what the rich man was crying out from hell and saying, "Go tell my brothers." And I look at that, and if I remember that, it's going to motivate me to want to tell more people about Jesus Christ. But when I don't want to number my days, when I don't want to consider that life is gone, that we're going to end it someday, and that we're not sure of when that's going to be, and all those different other things, and that eternity is so much more important than the things of this world. You know what happens? We start putting off the things that really matter, the things that really count, and then we start having Larrys, wishing that we would have numbered our days a little bit better, that we would number our days and applied our hearts to wisdom, because wisdom would have told me, you need to talk to Larry. My not numbering my days and looking forward to the future was going to be somebody else can deal with Larry. I don't know if you have a Larry in your life, but it's a motivation when you learn to number your days. So what have you done in this world in the last week for the Lord that was going to matter for eternity? Well, you've done in the last month. Let me encourage you, learn to number your days. We can look at our high school graduate and say, you got your whole life in front of you. Make sure you don't waste it. Don't procrastinate. Don't be lazy. Work hard. Succeed. What about us? Which category are you in today? Are you numbering your days? Let's pray.